You're listening to Michigan Politics, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Michigan Politics, huh? That's the name of it. I thought about calling it Michigan Politics, what the? But I don't know. You like either one of those names?
Either one works.
I'm here with State Senator Wayne Schmidt. We're in beautiful downtown Traverse City this morning, bright and early. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Always good to be here. We're downtown at Espresso Bay, a good coffee shop. Like to do a lot of my meetings here.
Yeah, well, great. Place. So you're from Traverse City, right?
I grew up over on 7th Street. My folks still live in the same house me and my brother grew up in. But now I live over on Washington Street, a whole whopping 8 blocks away.
What is that like? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a great thing. Okay. My brother and I are both very fortunate to live back here in Traverse City. I'm raising, along with my wife Kathleen, our two boys, and he's raising his twin boys and girl with his wife. Very, very fortunate. Traverse City was a great place to grow up, and now for our kids to grow up here, to be able to make a living, it's incredible.
Right. And Traverse City is a great community. I mean, it really is. I come up here a lot myself with my family. And one of the things we talk about at the Michigan Municipal League a lot is the value of placemaking, value of creating places that people, you know, don't want to leave, that people love to, that you can get up in the morning, walk to the corner coffee shop, or, you know, get a breakfast and have lunch and go grocery shopping. And Traverse City, I'm often asked, well, what's a good example of placemaking? And I often use Traverse City as a great example of that.
We've been very fortunate, very successful. And working with the Michigan Municipal League, of course, there's a number of issues that are facing Traverse City, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, places that have been successful in creating that environment of, oh, this is when you, you know, that live, work, and play kind of mantra that everyone has.
Yeah.
We've been able to do it. The question is, can we continue to do it at an affordable pace?
Right, because that's what you're struggling with. Affordable housing is what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. What we're really talking we have the, if you're really down in your luck, there are options. I know it's commonly referred to as Section 8 housing, things like that. We have quite a bit of that, and there is a need, and we probably need more. But what we're really struggling with is that workforce appropriate housing. That's kind of what most people have been calling it. Because we have a lot of jobs.
What does that mean?
Well, up here in northern Michigan, and even in a Grand Rapids or in Ann Arbor, hospitality, and I've worked in the hotel business, the restaurant business. Most people think of that as, oh, minimum wage jobs. And that's not true.
Okay.
I mean, there are those beginning jobs, busboys, dishwashers. But even there, as people move up through the ranks, there are a lot of ways to make money in the hospitality, and that's, you know, of course, a big part of northern Michigan and the UP. So you have people making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, a lot of those middle managers in the hotel business.
Sure.
But even in agriculture, in we do have a good chunk of manufacturing here in northern Michigan. Most of those jobs, people are having trouble finding housing.
Because just the housing rates have gone up so much here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know, the old adage, victim of our own success.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really struggling with. And, of course, I've worked with MML and a lot of other groups. I have Senate Bill 110 out there to allow to really clarify what local municipalities, other local governments can do in terms of creating more workforce-appropriate housing, whether it's using tax abatements, some incentives. This isn't rent control, by the way.
Okay.
So anybody out there that owns
it. It's a dirty word, right?
it really is, because we don't want to skew the market or have some false markets out there. But sometimes you need that little extra push to get things over the hump.
Right.
That's what we're looking to do.
It's interesting that, you know, even like a town like Traverse City, you know, has the struggles. I think that's probably the same kind of thing. I think Grand Rapids is going through that. Mm-hmm. Ann Arbor is going through that. So you have some success stories where you're kind of, like you said, victims of your own success. What is it about this area you think it's so attractive to people that they, you know, they're coming here and
I mean,
moving
we
here?
We can kind of look out the window and you look at West Grand Traverse Bay.
Yeah.
Just, you know, across the Old Mission Peninsula, which really isn't that wide, couple miles.
Yeah.
East Grand Traverse Bay, all the lakes.
Yep.
Very, very blessed with natural resources, access to water that, you know, much of Michigan enjoys.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to combine that with good schools. We have a lot of good schools here in northern Michigan, and my district, of course, and that's why a lot of times I mention the Upper Peninsula. The 37th Senate District I represent is all of Grand Traverse, Antrim County, Charlevoix County, Emmett County, Sheboygan County, across the bridge.
Oh, you do go.
Mackinac County, and everyone loves Mackinac Island.
Right.
Chippewa County, which is Sault Ste. Marie, which is on a roll. They're starting to have, starting to see some issues up there.
Yeah.
And then Lewis County, so Newberry, Tequamanon Falls.
So you don't go quite as far as Marquette, though, right? You stop.
No,
so you're the eastern half of the UP.
Eastern third of the UP. That's my district.
So that's a huge district. I mean, that's a lot of territory to cover.
That's why I've got 371,000 miles on my Chevy pickup, my 06. It keeps running.
Like we just started off here, you're here this morning. Right now we're in, I don't know if they call it a summer recess or what do they call this break
we're
right now?
We're kind of on a summer recess.
But I think people think when the legislators are in district, they're not doing anything. But obviously, you're busy. I mean, this is the only, 7:30 in the morning is the only time I had to get to you to do this interview because you're busy, right?
Yeah, I booked the staff booked a meeting, of course, in Mancelona with a constituent. Of course, that's a community. Seen some tough times with the closure of some auto plants, parts plants. So going up there to meet with a constituent, then heading up to Charlevoix to meet with Charlevoix Hospital officials, and then end up in Harbor Springs, as I mentioned, for the 125th anniversary of the Colonial Inn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these are all 45-minute hour away from one another.
Yeah.
And there's no easy way. The blessing of having beautiful lakes like Torch and Clam and Intermediate and all that chain of lakes there and Elk Lake and Skegamog, that also means there's no easy way around.
Right. You got to go around all
you
the lakes.
You go up and down or down and around.
Right.
And I just was doing that yesterday trying to get over to Boyne City, and then on Monday, you know, just a taste is, I was at the city commission meeting for Sault Ste. Marie, the second oldest community in Michigan, celebrating their 350th anniversary.
Wow!
And what's interesting is I joked with the mayor and the commission up there, is that a week earlier I had been in the third oldest community, Monroe, for the Downtown Association, and the week before that I was in Detroit. It's the oldest community in Michigan.
Right.
So I hit the top three all within about a week and a half, 2 week period.
That's pretty good. So also right now, you know, we are on a break right now, the Senate and the House, and I think the governor got the budget done. Where are things at, you know, just legislatively? What are some of the big issues you're working on, you're looking at that, you know, our listeners, you know, people that represent cities and villages would most care about right now?
Well, I think road funding is certainly a huge part of that.
Yeah.
We did an additional $300 million in addition to the $1.2 billion road package that's continuing to move forward. That's huge. We're getting to the point we might not have enough road building contractors to do this, but that's okay.
Right.
We can continue to spread out the projects and
well, what do you
do
say?
Right.
Because I hear this, people say, well, I thought they fixed the road funding because they raised the gas tax and that kind of thing. It didn't really touch what the need was, right?
We took a good bite out of the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, $1.2 billion by the year 2020 ongoing is not a small chunk of change. That's huge. But we're probably going to need to look at some additional monies. But, of course, the good part is the economy has gotten stronger, and that means more taxpayers.
Right.
Businesses are doing well. So we don't have to, we're not having to look to raise taxes, because if you have a good job, you're developing a good business, you're paying taxes, great. We're at a good tax rate.
Right.
One that encourages growth of business, one that isn't too onerous on our citizens. They're going to be paying more. We'll put it into roads. So we saw that. We've got an additional $300 million, as I mentioned earlier. But we're going to make sure we need not only that $1.2 billion, but hopefully we can continue to do those additional $300-$500 million investments.
Right.
Because this year we did $300 million. We did earlier $175 million additional dollars. So what is that, $475 million? So if we were able to do another $500 million, $400 to $500 million a year, plus that 1.2, that would really, that's, I think, about, you know, give or take a little bit, about where we need to be. Because I think the governor's reports were saying upwards of nearly $2 billion.
Right.
You know, you get to a point, even if you had more money, if you don't have the contractors or builders,
right,
it doesn't matter. But that's key.
Everyone agrees that the roads are really bad shape, particularly in where I am. I'm from Southeast Michigan, but even up coming into town here, I was surprised. I'm like, oh, yeah.
We have some challenges, but we voted our own countywide millage here. Okay. Grand Traverse did. It was actually a renewal. I think people are seeing road commissions, cities and villages are really starting to say, okay, we have the money. We're making sure our constituents, our voters, our residents, we're going to do X, Y, Z, and here's how much we're going to do, how much we're going to spend. And people are starting to get a better handle on what it is, road funding, and how roads are built. So it continues to be a challenge, but we're hitting it a lot harder than we did 5-10 years ago.
Right. Now, you mentioned an interesting thing about, you know, asking for a millage. You know, more and more communities are doing that, are going to, because... You know, you've heard the league talk a lot about how we feel the state system for funding municipalities is broken and needs to be fixed.
There
and
are
we
some
talk
challenges.
About, we
there
talk
are
about
some
revenue
challenges.
Sharing and the disinvest the taking revenue sharing from communities and using it to fill the state's budget loopholes. You might disagree with me on some of those words.
I don't totally disagree, but you know, I remember I served in the minority the last 2 years of the Granholm administration.
Yeah,
and those were some tough economic times.
Right.
We kind of joked, you know, if there ain't no revenue, there ain't no sharing.
Right.
And
that's not really what it does. That's not what
but I think it was getting to the point where we had, you know, was the state struggling? Sure. But, you know, it's not necessarily the job of the municipalities to keep prisons and state police. But yet we don't want those same municipalities having all these criminals out there. So we were making tough choices.
Sure.
Are we getting back to where we need to be in terms of revenue sharing? Yeah, we're putting more in. But to say that, you know, to be able to go back and say, well, we owe you this, that's going to, you know, I've got every group, every the universities, the schools, state departments. I don't know if we can ever go back. That double dip recession.
Right. I understand
everyone hurt.
And I don't think they're asking for that money back, but I think they're trying to use that as a point saying, this is why we're struggling, and can you give us more tools to do the things that we would like to do? It's not just about tax increases or that kind of thing.
Nope.
It's about, you know, loosening up some of the restrictions over Headley and Proposal A, and that's kind of really getting more into the weeds than I want to get into.
No, but it is, and that's what makes it a complicated system. But I will say this, with all of our problems, and we have challenges. And, you know, I grew up in the city of Traverse City, live in the city of Traverse City, have served on different boards and things. So I understand. And, you know, sometimes, now that I got to the state, I'm wearing a slightly different hat.
Right.
Sometimes get accused of forgetting my roots. But okay. I haven't. I have to come back here every week.
I can ask you about that.
But Michigan has hit a lot of its problems more head on than a lot of states and cities elsewhere in the United States. And what worries me, we had the toughest municipal bankruptcy with Detroit.
Right.
And some of my colleagues, you know, we always joke with my good friend, former Representative John Walsh, now the state budget director, that he saved Detroit. It's, you know, what a great guy. We had the right people at the right time working with city officials, working with the MML. You name it. A lot of communities, a lot of states haven't gone through the process we have. So while I think we have challenges still here in Michigan, I worry what's going to happen to an Illinois, California, New York State, New Jersey, some of those other states that are big, have a lot of debt. The economy isn't as successful as we are here in Michigan. What's going to happen to those places, and how's that going to affect us here in Michigan? That's, you know, we hit Detroit, and there's great things. Love going to Detroit. We're teaching our boys that Detroit is their hometown big city.
Right.
I mean, my in-laws live part of the year in South Bend and part of the year in Northern Michigan. So, you know, we end up in Chicago, and that's where I went to school, but Detroit is their hometown big city, Grand Rapids. So we're developing that sense of pride of, you know, you're a Michigander, and when you're doing well and another place isn't, you know, maybe having some struggles, it's your job to help you know, buck up and help that other community. Or, and right now we see, of course, the challenges up in Houghton Hancock. And, you know, when I was up in the Sioux, they offered to help however they could. And I know other communities have. And that's what we do here as Michiganders.
Yeah.
If another part of the state or another community is having a tough time, we step in.
Well, that's what we talk about at the league as far as our cities being economic drivers. I mean, you know, how go Detroit goes, you know, Michigan. Detroit's starting to show some tremendous turnaround. Same thing with Grand Rapids. I mean, with Chicago, they call it that area Chicago land because they all see themselves or the surrounding areas as part of the Chicago being the vibrancy part that drives that that area economy. So it's really important for us. That's what we talk about in the Michigan Municipal League Save My City Initiative. I'm assuming you've heard of that.
Yes, I have.
We've been working on this Save My City Initiative. And again, it's about the trying to fix what we feel is the broken system for 2 years now. Do you think it's making a difference? Are lawmakers, particularly on the majority side, the Republican side, are they hearing that message, and how is it viewed?
I think they're hearing the message. I think they're viewing it pretty well. You know, when you look at Michigan historically, a lot of the big cities have been more, you know, and getting into the politics a little bit here, more on the Democratic side, if you will.
Right.
And that's fine, and I've got great colleagues I work with across the aisle, and again, good working relationship with the staff at the MML, and I think that's key. And I think as we move away from that double dip, Great Recession, and better understand how those investments are playing out, how working Detroit the way we did and still being able to provide and still keep a decent level of benefits for those retirees. I know people did take a haircut. There is no question that there were some reductions, and I don't want to minimize that. But we all know it could have been a whole lot worse, and we've learned a lot of lessons from there, and that's what we need to continue to do and make it an attractive place to invest. And Detroit certainly is attractive.
Right. So, well, good. Well, thank you very much. So I think you're probably the most famous person in Traverse City, maybe next to Michael Moore, right?
Oh, wow. That's it. Now, as a Republican, I don't know if I want to be quite put into that
category. On the
other
side of the aisle, maybe.
Well, I know a lot of people having grown
little,
up here.
He's a little left-leaning.
He's a little more famous. I don't know if I want to be quite that famous or infamous, depending on the case. But again... Yeah. I'll give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
I don't like the guy's politics,
right.
But when it comes to movies and helping restore a theater,
yeah,
I think he did a good
job.
The
film festival I love.
Film festival, and I'll give him all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Quite frankly, I hope he kind of sticks to doing that. If he wants to help Michigan revitalize some downtowns, keep working on the theaters.
Has anybody also done the theater at Manistee? Is it Manistee or one of their communities, I believe?
He's worked on some of that down there.
Okay.
Like I said, that, you know, joking a little bit, that's where he should kind of stick to doing. You know, hey,
that's where the line stops, right? Yeah. The agreement stops. So, well, thank you very much for joining us. I am with Senator Wayne Schmidt. Just tell me real briefly, are you a local business owner as well, or are you work here?
Well, I've had interests in local businesses. My brother and I have had businesses together, some land and development companies. The business I'm most closely associated with is the Captain's Quarters Men's Shop.
Okay, that's where I've seen you before.
Exactly, owned by Maury and Betsy Allen, who live across the alley from me.
Oh, okay.
When I was growing up, their youngest son, Matt, and I had known each other since kindergarten.
All right.
That's when Traverse City was a little bit smaller, but I still work. It's Captain's Quarters is kind of famous because Maury's son, Jason Allen,
okay,
of course, was a state rep, state senator.
Oh, right, yeah.
I followed in those steps. My brother actually worked there, and for a while he was a city commissioner for Traverse City. So it's kind of a little bit of a political breeding ground. But, you know, Captain's Quarters, I still work there, and I love it. Okay. So people are coming up, street sale, first Friday in August.
Oh, right, yeah, I
holidays.
Love
that. It's a good family business, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Does that fall during the film festival this year? I think it might.
I think it does.
It did 1 year, and I had been the other years, but I'm not coming this year. So, but I know I want to. I love
deals.
It.
Well, we'll take care of you anyhow.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I'm off next to after this. I we're in this special cafe. I'm having a tall coffee here, but the world's greatest pancakes are here in Traverse City. and they don't open until 9:30. So I'm going to hang out in town and eat them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where? What place in town has the world's greatest pancakes?
World's greatest
I've
pancakes.
I've eaten pancakes all over, and these are the best.
I like the omelet shop. But
yep, of course.
Where are you? Where are you
the
going?
Town plaza has the world's greatest pancakes.
Over there on State Street, yes. State and Cass.
I just stumbled into it one day, and they make these. They're almost like a fried pancake. And
that
they're crunchy.
You are talking some good eating. you know, Traverse City is a foodie town, and yeah, the townhouse, good spot. Oh,
okay, great.
Okay, I can see that. Good call.
All right,
good call.
Thank you, Senator Schmidt, for joining us this morning here on Michigan Politics, huh?
Well, it's great to be here. Always a pleasure to work with the MML.
Great, thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.